Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here today. This is Jim Masters. It's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, and we thank you very much for making us a part of your day all around the world on the award-winning Close Up Radio. We're very excited to welcome wonderful life coach and just somebody who loves life and is so positive and reinforcing. We're talking about Carol Mishkin. She's in North Miami Beach, Florida. She's a top-notch, incredible thought leader in ontological coaching. And ontology, of course, is the study of self and the nature of our way of being. It really focuses on self-exploration, challenging our ways of being, our thoughts and beliefs, bringing out the best of who we are. We learn to tap deep into our soul, identify beliefs, pain points, and really utilize our gifts to live greater, with greater clarity, purpose, and awareness and joy. This kind of coaching recognizes that our thoughts and emotions really matter, and they play a tremendous and significant role in how we think and how we behave. At the age of 20, Carol discovered silver mind control, now called the Silver Life System. That began her journey to discover the mind and human potential. She encourages individuals to practice self-care, meditation, affirmations, exercise, journaling, and really balanced eating, as we are a whole, and wellness encompasses all. She grew up in Venezuela and did many things before becoming a coach. We'll talk about some of that on today's episode of Close Up Radio. At 58, that's when she immigrated to the United States. She works passionately with coaches on being aware of our thoughts and self-acceptance, self-esteem, all very important, crucial components of life. Also choosing our path to navigate inward and discover our deepest truth. She says, when we're in a place of calm and peace, nothing can disturb our mind and bodies. This work begins with embracing all parts of ourselves with love. Once we can live and appreciate ourselves, we live in light. But the effort starts with focusing the light within and healing ourselves. And she's here to help you do that. We're very excited to welcome Carol to Close Up Radio for this exclusive conversation. Carol, welcome, and thank you so very much for joining us on the show as our guest. We look forward to our conversation today. Nice to have you with us. Can you hear us, Carol? Carol, we don't hear you. Hopefully you can hear us. Ah, her call dropped. Lovely. So it's all in how you react, right? This is a true test to see how you react to situations that get thrown your way at a moment's notice. So you breathe, you remain calm, you redial.
Hello.
And then as you're breathing and redialing, Carol then answers the phone, and that shows you a demonstration of how you react calmly and concisely. That was, Carol, that was just a test, right? Just to see how I would react.
Absolutely. I wanted to make sure that didn't throw you off.
That was beautifully executed. You are amazing. See, that's a perfect example of how you respond when things get a little funky, and you can panic, you can run away, you can get mad, you can do all these different things. No, you just keep going forward, right? That's so key to what we're talking about today. I love that. Now, do you still hear me? I wonder if you're on a cell phone and maybe your cell phone is going
we
in and out.
Go crazy, or we
are you
practice a pause, we think about it, and then we respond. When there's something that I cannot control, why should I let it get me mad? I could not do nothing about that phone call. So I patiently waited for you to call me back.
That's perfect. I love that. I talked a little bit in advance about your background. Let's talk a little bit about some of the inspirations that you've had in your own life journey, Carol, to want to go into this kind of work and to really focus on ontological coaching. Define that a little bit for us and some of the inspirations that you've had that pointed you in the direction of wanting to do this kind of work.
Actually, I've been a teacher. I studied teaching, and I was a teacher for many years. I knew as a child that I wanted to teach. So I taught, and when I learned Silva Mind Control at 20, that opened up an entire world, an inner world, through meditation, through understanding ourselves. And that followed me, that technique and that power followed me through life. I went into ontological coaching actually at 52 when I started to go through a depression because both my children had left. I was living in Venezuela, which was deteriorating rapidly. Crime was rampant. Communism was setting in. And my dad had died. My sister had moved away to the United States. And so I was just feeling like, oh, God, what's next? And I went into a depression. And several people said, oh, you should look into coaching. I had never even heard of it. Well, after looking a little bit, I found it. It found me. I did ontological coaching, which was a two-year program with an Argentinian group. And there was a before and an after. I was able to connect to myself, and I was able to come out with, like a phoenix, with power, connecting to my gift with a purpose and with a lot of healed wounds and pain and ready to serve others to help them live a more meaningful life, to get out of their head and more into action and into living the moment.
And that's very important. That's so important, living the moment. This kind of coaching that you do, how is it different? Maybe there's a lot of similarities, but how is it different from a life coach?
So it's not really goal-oriented, like I want to do this, and then you have a coach help you do that. It's more exploratory. We as an ontological coach, we don't see people as broken that we need to fix them. We see people having views that are not empowering them. So where we intervene is in what type of an observer you are, because the way you see the world is the way you respond in the world. If you live in a dangerous world, everything is going to be coming out of fear. If you live in a world that you trust, your actions will be coming out of trust. So what we do is we help the individual notice how they are being in the world, what stories they're telling themselves, what gifts they have. It's more connecting to our inner self, going on an inner journey, unraveling stories and narratives that we still believe, questioning our thoughts. Who are you? How does that help you? How do you want to change? Who do you want to be? It's rather than just being oriented towards one goal, it's a deep transformation, because when I understand that I have the power to change, that the way I look at things is what makes me respond, and all I need to do is do a shift in my vision, then I will have different thoughts, and my thoughts will produce different emotions, and my emotions will produce different actions.
I like that. That's a great way to look at it.
It's like a transformation, an entire transformation. It's not one area that gets fixed with ontological coaching. We fix all areas because we observe, how am I being with my family? How am I being with my friends? How am I being in work? What are the areas that I need to work on? What areas help?
Exactly. And that's so incredibly important. You know, you say everything we do is a learned behavior. Let's talk about that a little bit more.
So the studies now show us, well, we know that studies tell us that generation information is in us. But our 9 months that we're inside the womb, we are absolutely hearing and seeing everything. When we are born, we are like an empty computer and an empty tape recorder. And every experience that we see and hear and feel and taste and touch becomes recorded in the belief of who we are. By 7 years old, everybody is already formed. So we are who we were taught to be at 7 years old. And the rest of our life, we need to spend unlearning these beliefs that do not serve us, these fears that limit us, these ideas of who we are. So we are programmed by our parents who told us, oh, you're messy. Oh, you're not doing this well. Oh, you need to do this. That's what I mean. We're literally, our way of being is typed in by our parents, our teachers, our caretakers, our television, our newspapers, the world we live in. So we borrowed everybody's beliefs. And truly, the job of a coach at 21 is to unpack that suitcase of beliefs. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I don't sing well. Money is hard to make. All those form who we are. So we need to unravel those stories and write new stories about ourselves.
That's right, exactly. Yes. You know, we mentioned a little bit about the fact that childhood does really affect the way we live our lives as adults. How many times have we heard somebody be told, who is an adult, stop acting like a child?
Yeah. That's actually a gift, to be acting like a child. If we could be creative, if we could get connected with fun, with having fun again, you know, we're just so fearful, so stuck in ideas that we don't even realize it.
That's right, exactly. Our childhood does have, that inner child stays with us, and if there's unresolved issues and things that still perplex us, oftentimes that can reveal itself in adulthood, right? Good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah, so guess what? For our whole life, whatever has affected us, it does never heal completely. We can heal and work on it, but everything leaves a scar. So nobody in this world is untouched. Just being born itself is the first trauma we all go through. Some people it takes 36 hours. Some people it takes 2. We break 700 bones inside of a woman as we're being born. So that's our initial trauma. And then the new information tells us trauma is not really what happens, but what our body does with what happens. So it's not necessarily the event, but how the child interprets it. And that is what's going to follow him for life. And undoing those stories and rewriting those stories is our job forever. But the pain body, where that wound is, it always will have a scar. And it can be triggered by events in life. So our job is to be aware of it. Awareness is the secret. Awareness is where our power lies. Understanding what our thoughts that limit us and that pain us are. That's where our power lies.
Mm-hmm. That's right, exactly. It is, self-care is important, and meditation, you hear so much about it lately, it seems to be more talked about and understood and appreciated now more than ever. It can really be an ideal form of practicing self-care, right?
So for me, I feel meditation is like brushing our teeth. I feel it's an essential part of our day, and it should be done minimum 3 times a day. It's like brushing our soul. It's like giving us power again. It's cleansing. So why is it so important? Because now we have over 150 scientific studies explaining how it affects your heart, how it can and help your blood pressure, how it can you can heal illnesses when we're in meditation. It's another dimension in ourselves. It's a connection. Many say it's the connection to God. It's where we connect to source. It's where we connect to the universe. It's a quieting down. And the benefits, I don't frankly understand why everybody doesn't meditate every day. And for me, in my coaching, it's an essential part of healing, because it's in those spaces of silence where we can listen, because we're talking all the time. So we're not in contact with those inner voices. So the quieting down and meditation is also a part where we can do reprogramming. We can see ourselves well. We can see ourselves forgiving. We can see ourselves promoted in a job. It's an area to project. It's magic. And it's been talked about since biblical times. The reason now is that one of the main things of the silver mind control that I took back in 1978 was meditation, was learning meditation. And I have so many healing, personal healing stories that I've been through with meditation. I feel it's our magical key to true happiness.
I agree. Yes, absolutely. Everybody can benefit from this kind of coaching, right? Ontological coaching?
Everybody can benefit because we're all creatures in transformation. We're not trees. We're always growing. And unless you are yourself, somebody who is always reading and always on top of it's even good to have a conversation where you throw back your ideas and you hear different perspectives. We grow when we open up our information, when we allow ourselves to get other people's views and analyze. And so everybody can benefit from talking real, from looking within, from having somebody reflect what you're thinking, what you're saying, where you're stuck, what your limits are. It's a growth. It's a process to help you grow.
Yeah, and that's important. The growth is essential. Let's talk a little bit about the actual sessions themselves, Carol. How do your coaching sessions work, and how can individuals participate? Do you do sort of an assessment in the beginning? One of the great things that I think is important is that you develop trust
session,
with them, and they develop trust
session,
with you.
Yeah, I have a first exploratory session, because one of the important things in ontological coaching is the person has to want it. I'm not here to convince somebody to, I can help you. No. You want to grow? I'm going to be the conduit to help you do that, okay? So in our first session, I hear where the person's at. I ask a lot of questions. What area in your life? As I said, we can be really well at home and really not well at work, or we can be really well at work and not well at home. And we can be well at home and not good with our partner. So we have different areas in life. And sometimes somebody is not good in any area in life, or sometimes they're good in four areas and not in one. In our initial session, we will determine the areas that could benefit from work and if we are a good fit. Not everybody's a good fit. And you feel it right away. You can feel if the person's energy is open to the work, and if they're not, if they want magic pills, don't give magic pills. And so I get a sense from there. Then I ask for a six session commitment. And the reason is to change patterns and to change habits, we need to do a certain behavior for 21 days. And the science of neuroplasticity, which means that we can change when we repeat a behavior over and over, you need to do it 21 days. Then the wiring is done in your brain. So we have the 21 days, and then I ask 90 days, that behavior is already inside of you. So I give a six-week session program. We stop, we evaluate, and then we go into a 12-week session. I am also working now online on some Zoom workshops and courses. I will be giving meditation courses. I will be giving forgiveness courses. I will be giving our self-encounter courses. So I'm working on that right now, and I'll be giving updates on my webpage. I have a webpage where all the information will be able to be found.
What is that page? What is that web page that people can check out?
My webpage is Carol Mishkin, www.carolmishkin.com. And on there, I speak a little bit about me, what ontological coaching is, and I talk about my sessions, and I will be within the next month writing about the new courses that I am working on.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Congratulations on all of that. Let's, if we can, discuss a little bit about your view on trauma.
Trauma. So as I said before, trauma is not necessarily what happens to you, but what you do with what happens to you. And I'm going to tell you a little story to describe what I'm talking about. There's a story about a man who's 50 years old, and he's a drunkard. And he has two twins. And he was a drunkard his whole life. And at 35 years old, one of the twins is a doctor, and one is an alcoholic, okay, a drunk. And somebody asked the drunkard, why did you become an alcoholic? And his response was, with the dad I had, what else did you expect? And then they asked the twin that is a doctor, and how come you became a doctor? And he said, with the father I had, what else did you expect? So they both lived through having a traumatic situation with an alcoholic father, but each took the trauma and took it to another level. So it's not necessarily the event, but what we do in our body with that event. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's all tied together.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So trauma is a little boy at 2 years old, his mom says, stop doing this. And the way he interpreted it was a very angered mom saying, stop doing this. And that's the emotion that he has that memory stored in. And every time he thinks of the word don't, he remembers that. So it triggers a lot of events inside of your body. So as I said before, everything is an interpretation. It's not really what is, but it's how, what I did with that in my body. So, as I said before, trauma, it never, ever goes away totally. It leaves scars. But we can learn to live with it. We can learn to understand it. We can learn to respond differently in our life. But it'll always be a little wound that we carry in our body. Right now, science is telling us that trauma is the silent epidemic of our culture. And the problem I see it is that we need to teach parents how to become parents, because parents rely on the parents that they had who relied on the parents that they had. And today, science has too much information regarding how important those 7 initial years are and how our scars and wounds all come from those 7 years of life.
That's so important to know. You know,
the marvelous thing that I forgot to say is that we can heal. As I say,
yes,
we'll have a little scar, but we can heal and we can grow from it and we can learn to live better. It doesn't have to interfere our life, but it'll always be there as a reminder.
Exactly right. We've just got a couple minutes left, but coaching, how do you define coaching being different from therapy?
So as I said, therapy thinks you're broken and it needs to fix
yeah.
you, okay? And
yeah.
we don't think you're broken. We think we just need to intervene in the way you observe the world. Ugh, everybody's terrible in my work. Okay, how can you change that? Can you talk to 5 people and see if you can find something good? We start changing the way you look at things. And Wayne Dyer wrote it beautifully. When we change the way we look at things we look at change. To give you a small example, when I first got to Miami, when I emigrated here, the heat was quite heavy duty, especially when living in Venezuela is like 70 degrees all year long. So it's like being in a little air conditioner with sun all year long. And when I got here, it was like, oh, every time I opened the door, I just thought, oh, the back of an air conditioner, the back of an air conditioner. And then one day I said, you know what? It's a beach. What do I expect from a beach? I expect heat. It would be terrible if it would be in a beach. Just that little shift in the way I thought makes me be able to open my door every day and say, ah, delicious, I'm in a beach. So it's always changing the way I look at something. Things may not be changing. It may be raining outside. But if I say instead of, oh, wow, what can I do today? Well, I'm going to read. I'm going to clean up my closet. I'm going to make some jewels. I always have a choice. And that is what my motto is. We always choose. We don't choose the weather, but we choose how we are going to respond to it. So I believe we have choices in life. We can always choose our happiness, our emotions, our way of being. We cannot choose a lot outside of us, but we can always choose how we want to be. And I help people become happier, see things with a different view, believe in themselves, get out of repetitive thoughts, and have a happy life, because we are not here to suffer.
And if folks would like to learn more, they can go to the website, carolmishkin.com. That's carolmishkin.com to connect with Carol. She's absolutely amazing. Carol, thanks so much for joining us on this show. This half hour went by in a New York minute, but I hope we get a chance maybe to explore some more and hear some testimonials, case studies. That would be a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on the show today. You are amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. This was fun.
Oh, you are
have
very
welcome.
Have a nice
day.
You too. Keep doing what you're doing, making a positive difference in the lives of others. CarolMishkin.com is the website. I'm your host, Jim Masters. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Close Up Radio. We appreciate you as well. And stay tuned. I'll be back in just mere minutes with another amazing guest right here on Close Up Radio. Until then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Be well. Talk again soon right here on Close Up Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.